forsaken was one of the Godhead three, who saved us from eternal law.
But God sought us on the
cross.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing His word, but it sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus, and oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because
most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, again we come to you thanking you for the many blessings of this life that you've given us, and especially thanking you for the love that you had in sending your only Son into this world to die on that cruel cross of Calvary for the remission of our sin, that we may have a home with you someday in heaven. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, and we ask your prayers in this prayer for you, that for the loved ones that have been mentioned here this morning, that you will bless them and keep them safe and out of harm's way. And that you will bless the leaders of this great nation. That you will give them the patience and the wisdom to carry out their talks. That they may have peace. That we may all have peace on this earth. We ask you to go with us and be with us and forgive us for our many sins. And bless us and keep us safe and out of harm's way. And that we would do the things that you will have us to do. This is our prayer in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So before taking the Lord's Supper to prepare our minds for that, let's sing number 536. The Old Rugged Cross, number 536.
On a hill far away stood an old
Christian camp. Number 40. I was born before he started, so that puts me over 40. And Beth was too. That puts her over 40. And so many great memories out there. We'll no doubt relive some of those this week as we go. 40 years, amazing feat that is there. He might have more to say about that when he gets up here. But if you didn't know that, now you do. That he's been a part of that and directing and so many other behind the scenes areas as well. Yeah. But especially in directing for 40, this will be his 40th week of directing, consecutive, with no gaps in there. So thankful for that. Yeah. Let's stand and sing number 619.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. And thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion. City of God, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. My children of the heavenly King, my children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful.
We will have an invitation song.
673.
Yeah, 673. Will be our invitation song this morning. Well, it's good to be with y'all, to say the least, and to have this idea of 40 years in front of you. And we're glad to have that privilege to be there and have the watching now of the directing of it by Bobby and Brooks and Beth and Todd and all that goes along with the staff that is there as well. Good to be with y'all today. Our songs that we sing with young people and the adults that know these songs so very well are just really vivid for us. And we've been emphasizing this particular thought because our lesson studies during this month have dealt with the idea of the Lord's church and the idea of his people. And the people of God are people who praise him. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. And by request, but though you don't have to request very much about this song, the Hippo song, the Creator, God, made these things in the world which we live. In the beginning, God made the sea and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high. And at the top, he placed the sky. His fingerprints are everywhere.
just to show how much he cares. In the middle he had some fun, made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us.
Indeed he did, and the idea about how they could be here without the Creator. Wonderful song and wonderful idea. Thank y'all for singing it. We read this along with it. Our particular study today is a study in regard to the uniqueness of the Lord's church. The Lord's church identified in the New Testament of our Bible when Jesus said in Matthew 16 at verse 18 to Simon Peter and the other apostles there, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or torment, the gates of Hades, the death, will not prevail against it." It's the idea that he said regarding his church to be built and the unique spirit of his church. He is the one builder of the church. Identified in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 4, there is one Lord and one spirit, one body, one God, Father of all mankind. We wonderful blessings that we have. Even the doctrine of the Lord is there taught. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The idea of the unique qualities of the Lord's people, he tells them to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. How many? One body. That is one. And as we identified in Ephesians chapter 1, the body is identified as the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so there is one. Why then are there so many different types of names for various churches these days? Well, those things began when they broke away from that which was dominating over them. And as a result of that, they adopted those churches that were in names of countries and names of particular doctrines as a result of that particular time. And in that time, it's continued on down this stream of time. And so today there are various names that are being honored and obligated. But there is in the New Testament of the Bible identified very clearly as churches of Christ. In Romans 16 and 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There's a unique quality about churches of Christ, and it's not just because they are different. There are those who sometimes express sorrow as being members of the churches of Christ. They tell us, "Oh, I'm sorry for you, I'm sorry for you." And there are those who falsely accuse us of being people who teach a work system for salvation, that we've got to work this, do that, check off this, check off that, and as a result be saved. That's not the idea at all that's being taught. And you've heard the idea of being obedient to the Lord, following His will. Some say there's no works at all to do. Well, there are four types of works identified in the Bible. One work Jesus talked about in John chapter 8. You're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. The works of the devil obviously do not save us. And in Galatians 5 and verse 4, the works of the old law are said do not save us. If any man goes by way of the works of the old law, he's fallen from grace. And so the old law of Moses, that Ten Commandments system, and all the animal sacrifices of that Old Testament, they're no longer binding upon mankind. If we try to be saved by works of the law, we've fallen from grace. And then there are works of self-preservation, when we boast about those things. And notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast." It's not of ourselves that we have that to be done. It is the case that we find ourselves rewarding the cause of God and the righteousness of God, because we do His work in the world. And Jesus Himself talked about His work, the work of God, in John 6 and verse 29, when He said to the man who said to Him, "What is it that we might do to work the works of God?" Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent." Believing on Jesus is the beginning of the work that God wants us to do. What is repentance? Repentance is also a work of God. Notice in Acts 11 and verse 18, how that they've glorified God, saying He's granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. And so repentance is a work of God in personal life. When they turn from sin, they turn away from that way of life, and they live with the hopes of serving the God of heaven in every way. Pardon me. When we find these things taught in God's Word, we find the unique quality of them. That we recognize that there are four different gifts that are works that are talked about in the Bible. There are three of them that do not save, or categorically stated that they do not save us. That is the works of our own righteousness, the works of the law of Moses, and the works of the devil. If we're practicing any of those particular things and thinking that God therefore will save us, He's obligated to save us on that basis, and we step before Him at the judgment and say, Lord, I've done this Ten Commandment system, and did I not say through Paul that is by the works of the old law no flesh can be justified before me? There was a time in which those works of the law were part of my great system. But there was a coming of the Christ. It was announcing the coming of the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, there is now the way of hope through Him. And the faith in Him is so important that that's my work that you begin to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But He says that we believe in Him, and notice what He says. Without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Now how are we to diligently seek Him? We're to diligently study our Scripture, read what He tells us to do, and then practice that in diligence, practice that way of life that He tells us. He tells us not to be people who are false in our teaching. Not to be people who are liars to others. Not to be people who are drunkards and filled with filthiness in life. He tells us to do that kind of way of life in order to practice our work before Him. That's the work of God to be done. And we must practice that work of the Lord in our daily walk of life. Revelation 14, verse 13. And the Spirit says, come, He says there. When He says regarding this matter, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. They may rest from their labors. Is it my labor that got me saved? Is it my idea of the works following me? Or is it the work of God that I've been doing in my life? As a result of practicing the work of the Lord in my daily walk of life, being the person of honesty, being the person of compassion, being the person of help to others, that's the sort of thing that He talked about. We've used those passages in this study series in regard to our ways of life. In Matthew 6:33, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things of food, clothes, and shelter will be added unto you. It is the case that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This kingdom is identified in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 as being the kingdom where He puts us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And if it's in the kingdom of His dear Son, what is that kingdom? Chapter 4 takes this letter over to the church of the Laodiceans and receive the epistle written to Laodicea back there to you at Colossae. The Colossian people were the church people, and they were the members of the kingdom as well. So the kingdom people and the church people are the same people in the New Testament of the Bible. And you know that from Jesus' own Lord's Supper. He said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Yet it is in the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 20, that they were partaking of the Lord's Supper and not doing it correctly, so that they might do it correctly. They were corrected in the teaching that was given to them, that they might remember the body and the blood of Christ instead of their own supper and their own enjoyment of a common meal. They were to make this special remembrance of the body and the blood of Christ for their salvation. As a result of that, there were people who were serving the Lord in the church of God, which is at Corinth. The church people and the kingdom people were all the same people in the New Testament of your Bible. And so when we talk about being a person who obeys the Lord and added to His kingdom today, we're talking about being obedient to the Lord and added to the church today. We're talking about people who serve the uniqueness of the kingdom of God, the uniqueness of the church of the Lord, as He has taught us. If we can be people who do that, then what should we do? Well, what was the first point that I made in regard to this, in regard to the matter of trying to justify ourselves by the old law in Galatians 5 at verse 4? If we find ourselves in that old law, trying to obey the Ten Commandments system, trying to obey the animal sacrifice ideals of that old law, we find ourselves falling from grace. He says, you're out of the veil of this whole system of the grace of God. You're out of this system of forgiveness and salvation if you try to go by that way of that old law. So the unique quality of the church is that we live today not binding upon people the Old Testament of the Bible. We bind upon people today that which is the New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. As that New Testament is preached and taught and revealed to us as to how we live in the practice of that. And in the New Testament of the Bible, you recognize not only were they to seek first the kingdom of God, but they were also to be people who were forgiving of others. In Matthew 18, verses 13 and 35. How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? No, Simon, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The idea of this was not to count up 100, 480 times, 490 times in order to be forgiven. But the idea was to be a person who served the cause of God and be willing to forgive when anyone has trespassed against you. Instead of holding a grudge, instead of weighing it on all the way to the grave. For he says there in Matthew 18 and 35, for if you forgive not others their trespasses against you, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And he uses this expression to them in that passage. He says, if you do not from your heart forgive those who trespass against you, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. We must be people who are willing to forgive. Seek first the kingdom. We're to be people of that. We're to be people who serve the cause of the Lord in a mighty way, seeking first the kingdom. He will add these blessings to our daily walk of life. More than that, we're to be people who do not honor that old law system, but we honor the New Testament teaching of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, they partook of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what he had done for them in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 20. So it is that we find ourselves today practicing that way of worship. And we sing and we pray and we preach in words that are understood. That's the teaching in 1 Corinthians 14. Beginning at verse 15 of that passage, he tells us that they were to sing with the Spirit and pray with the Spirit and the understanding also. They were to teach God's word in words that were clearly understood. Paul even saying that he'd rather speak four or five words known and everybody can clearly understand than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So it is that religious systems today that move in the ideas of having those special words and special teachings to be done that are not factually true and accurate for them find themselves amiss from Paul, who says, I'd rather speak four or five words easily understood than 10,000 words. And I can speak, he said, in tongues more than you all. He could call upon God to speak in any language that he was met up with. As a result of that, he could speak the word of the Lord, and he did speak the word of the Lord, even at Caesar's household. For in the Philippian letter, in the fourth chapter, he talks about even those who are saints at Caesar's household. And who was the only one brought there for trial and brought there under arrest to possibly teach about the Lord's way? The saints that are at Caesar's household. Are the same kind of people that are described in 1 Corinthians 1 as those that are saints in Christ Jesus and in the church of the living God. Wonderful it is to have that relationship with him. And the uniqueness of the church, the uniqueness of it, is to teach that right way and teach that godly way and live that godly way as we live our lives from day to day. I thank you for your study with me today and the idea of this. The hope that we have of the soul is to be people who follow the ways of the Lord and added to his body, the church. This is an important and a busy day for us, but it's not too busy to stop, to help someone be baptized into Christ who needs to do so, to help someone in prayer to be restored in repentance and prayer and be restored to the body of Jesus Christ today as Simon was in Acts chapter 8, verse 22. We can be those kind of people. We can serve the cause of God. Everyone that we associate with will understand that we're a little bit late because of that going on. If we can be of help to you today, we trust that you'll come to Jesus and obey Him and be added to His unique body, the church, as we stand together and as we sing.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay.
Close with our song and prayer today. Let me mention a couple of three things to you. People think sometimes I was always associated with session four. I have a devotional this afternoon for our staff that comes in, which I'll mention the fact that I was not always with session four. It took 5 years for me to get to session four. When first came to Batesville in 1998, the camp had just come to a close. Brother Hank Hogan took me out to camp, and he did the wrong thing, really. Because camp was vacated. There were some ladies out there that were going through the leftover foods to send to Sunnybrook Children's Home. And as a result, they were busy with what they were doing, but camp was empty. It wasn't filled with children and people and good things. Camp is really made up of that. That's why I invite you to come out on Thursday night, please, and be a part of that with us. As you walk around and talk with young people, visit with them, and see the Sky Boomer show to be done out there in the big field. It's a tremendous thing that you can be of help to those young people, because that's what camp is, young people and activities associated with them. But I began to work in the session two in 1979 along with Phil Sanders, who was the new preacher at Senatobia. I was going to be invited to become the preacher at Senatobia, as it turned out, because Brother Bolden was calling in to Hank Hogan and asked him, did y'all employ Robert Rawson yesterday when you met with him? And he said, yes, we did. So between that time, I went to Batesville, and he came to Senatobia. Phil Sanders was the next man in the list for them. And he came to Senatobia. And as a result of that, we worked together that particular year, and we worked the next year, and we thought so much alike, and we laughed at so many of the same things. We promised each other we'd always stay together. And direct sessions of camp, session two. We did not see what was coming up ahead in our third year. And that was the announcement from David Chadwell at Oxford that he was retiring from his directing of session one at camp. He was leaving it. He was doing that. He was done 10 years and he was after. And so the board asked me if I would step over into session one and direct session one. And I said, well, I've talked to Phil. Let me talk to Phil. And Phil said, we'll have two of us working. I'll come and help you in session one if you need it. And now you can come help me in session two if I need it. Neither one of us, we have big staffs as it were, so we didn't need to do that. But I worked with Phil Sanders in 1979 and 80. And 81, I went to session one. And in session one had 100 children that came. We had a record-setting group of folks that came to that. For some reason, people like to come to my camp, work with me. And so it's a good fun time and a good spiritual time. And so that 3 years I worked with that. And then the unusual happened. In 1983, we had something to happen that had never happened. They had only 14 to show up at session four at camp. Only 14 children showed up, 14 campers. And I tell you, we were all happy with what resulted. Hal Johnson was in that session, and Dave Sellers, who was preaching in Ackerman, he was the young man directing that session. And people didn't know Dave Sellers. They didn't know how wonderful he was, how good a guy he is and everything, how much joy he has in life with children. But they didn't attend. 14 came. And as a result of that, the board, though, went bananas, because you cannot pay for the food items, the electricity, the water of the place with 14 tuitions. You cannot do that. And so they thought that it was because of the July the 4th celebration. People go on vacation around that time. People get away from home around that time. They don't think about camp at that time. And that's what they decided was going to be the case. And I was the only one in the crowd of that meeting. And I spoke up and I said, perhaps it was the case that they didn't know Brother Sellers, who directed that session. Well, we don't know. We didn't know him either. Well, it may have been the case. I said, I'll take session four and work with session four a couple of years, and let's see what the crowd will become that way. And then we'll know. If it's down, 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 then we'll know that that's time to end that session, come back in the second week of July rather than the first. The first year we had 108 came to camp. 108, from 14 to 108. We didn't have room. We had four cabins at the time of boys and four girls. We didn't have enough room to sleep, everybody. We had to have 24 of them on pallets on the floor in the cabins. That's against the rules now and against the law now, and we set up the law. But it was okay that time. We had four pallets, two pallets on the floor, and they slept on that. We had a ball, had a great time. And that started my 35 years of working with session four, and it's been a fun time. It's a fun time now that I don't have to call everybody to become on staff. I don't have to plan every detail of things to be done. Bobby and Brooks and Todd Sanderson, our adopted son over at Holly Springs, they do that sort of thing. And I'm glad I can watch it, see it get done. They pass it by me just as a nice thing, but that's the sum total. Thank you all for letting me conspire with you a little bit today on a devotional that we're going to share and prayer time that we're going to share with the people there at camp. But it'll be a good time. This year is the first time they've had the sign that they've heard me tell them what to do in case of a fire or in case of a lost camper or something like that. They have to sign a paper saying that they heard it said to put in the nurse's station, to put in the state this time, first time. Somebody somewhere didn't do it right throughout the years and places, and so they're making us do that. Just because you sign a paper doesn't mean that you really heard with your heart what was being said, but that's what they'll do. God bless y'all. Have a great service tonight, and I hope to see every one of you out that way at Sawyer Select Christian Camp on the campus there. But if you stop on the sides of the road, you'll join 6,000 others on Highway 6 and Highway 315. And if you go over as far as on 315, if you go to John Kyle State Park, you can see across the water the fireworks show. You don't have to be anywhere close to us. You can be over there and enjoy that. God bless.
You guys well know. He is still in charge. One of the things he did mention that I enjoy being a part of that is 2 years ago I became the board chairman of Sawyer Select Christian Camp.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge and his knowledge and all of going back through, we're the only father and son that have been the board chairmen.
before it starts like Christian camp. So that might happen somewhere along the way down the road as we move to the first. Yes. I apologize for the Lord sharing with all people now. I've been 2 years. I'm done and I'll go over to somebody else to take the reins and go. We've had some good growth in those 2 years, and I'm proud of that. We'll leave it a little bit better, and I found it, and hopefully the next guy will too.
Yeah.
And we'll keep going with it. Enjoy. As you can tell, our passion for Source Lake Christian Camp is there, and our family has been a big part of our family for many, many years, and hopefully we'll continue. Let's stand and sing number 175. It might be a new song to you, but it is a song that's very easily caught on to, and it's a song that will wrap up the sermon this morning. He's my King. All day long of Jesus I am singing. He's my song, a cry will ever be. All the while he keeps my heart bells ringing. For his love is everything to me. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my Lord and King. Savior, he's my King.